of buying time, killing people that's in line. Lower classes, social slime, they don't matter. Genocide, sick from water, sick from air. Making money, they don't care. Caesarship, force of air. Fuck them back, it's only for their war. They shoot, they kill, they massacre from rain. They burn the kids, no one lives gun. Trees, lie to your face, fight and die, cause God will give. Buying time, killing people next in line. Lower classes, social slide, they don't matter. Genocide, sick from water, sick from air. Making money, they don't care. See their shit, force of bear. Fuck them back, that's only fair. They bomb, they shoot, they kill. They massacre, rape, they burn. The kids, no more leaves, gun. Trees, lie to your face. Fight and die, cause God forgives. Yeah.
Welcome to the show. I'm your host, Ron Stevens. This is Rock the Boat right here on UCY.TV. And I'm your host for the next hour. And I'm not sure why I do this, but I do it. I like to go check the weather network. And if I wasn't doing this show, I would never go near the thing. But it's a quite a ludicrous sight, but it gives you a good idea of the global warming fraud and the renewable energy fraud and, well, all the other frauds that are going on. And, you know, they're always yakking about the weather getting warmer. And we had a beautiful day today, make no bones about it. It was a beautiful November day today. People were happy, the sun was shining, the weather was decent. And the temperature was decent, but nowhere close, you know. I don't know how these idiot so-called scientists miss the dirty 30s, you know, the droughts and the heat and the crop failures because of the heat and the drought. They seem to miss that completely. But anyways, the record high for today in my town was 21.7 degrees Celsius, which is 70-some degrees, I guess, Fahrenheit. And that was back in 1938. And the record cold was 1879. And tomorrow I'll check it, and it'll be something similar. But the number of record highs that happened in the 2000s in my town, I haven't seen any. I've seen some record lows, but I haven't seen any record highs. So, now just a couple of days ago, they were telling me that it was going to be ridiculously cold in November, and now they say all eyes on above average Great Lakes temperatures. And I live up on Lake Huron. And here's why. So they're going to tell me why all of a sudden it was going to be freezing cold and now it's warm. Thursday, November the 3rd. Warmer than average Great Lakes temperatures this year are poised to have a significant impact on southern Ontario weather in November. Recently observed data from the Great Lakes Environment Research Agency has indicated the average surface water temperature across all five Great Lakes is presently at least 3 degrees Celsius above normal for this time of year and at least 4 degrees above normal for the lakes surrounding the most densely populated region in Canada. No, it isn't another one of those articles attempting to link observations like these to climate change. Of course it is. The guy says, I'm a meteorologist after all. That's a guy who goes to work and puts up a dartboard with temperatures on it and rain, snow pictures and throws darts at it, and that's how they make up the weather. You know that's what they do because the next day they're usually wrong. And then they throw some more darts. They get it right once in a while, but not very damned often. Rather, he says, this is a simple, albeit preemptive, cautionary tale for residents of southern Ontario as we head into the later half of fall, or latter half of fall, or as I like to call it, lake effect snow season. Classic winter or green for the holidays includes a first look at them, yada, yada, yada. So what are they trying to tell us here? With the honeymoon phase of fall, that is the months of September and October, now over, it may be tough to accept the fact we are now slowly beginning the long and increasingly chilly journey through the part of the season that is notorious for developing lake effect snow squalls and lake enhanced snowfall accumulation in southern Ontario. Lake effect snow is particularly common throughout the months of November and December because it is normally the time of the year when the temperature is different. Difference between the air over the Great Lakes and the air over land is greatest. Empirical evidence, that would be scientific evidence, shows us, nothing of course, but that a difference in temperature between these two locations must be at least, be at or exceed 13 degrees Celsius in order for lake effect snow to become a real concern. Given this, if the lakes are a few degrees warmer than they usually are this time of year, it will be that much easier for the temperature difference to attain or exceed the important 13 degree Celsius threshold when a cold air mass eventually moves in. Once the threshold is attained, the prevailing winds blow consistently along the greatest stretch of the lake. You've got yourself a perfect setup for particularly impactful lake effect snow event for those downwind. Well, that's kind of normal along the Great Lakes, you twit, you see. You know, if the lake freezes over, then we're going to get pounded here. If the lake doesn't freeze over, then all of this so-called lake effect snow will be inland, because if the lake stays open and warm, I don't recommend going swimming in it. You might find that the water isn't too freaking warm. You know, they tell you this stuff every year, and every year it's the same thing. The temperature and the weather and the snow patterns or the rain patterns or the lack of rain patterns are entirely cyclical. And all the weatherman has to do is go back and look. So anyways, some people put some comments in here, and it's about weather. It's not about climate change. It's it's just about weather, and that's all it's about. There's no such thing as man-made global warming. Never was, never will be. And I don't know how much of a pea brain you got to have to get sucked into this garbage. I hear it from people all the time. And, I mean, I was walking, what, 2-3 winters ago, back from the storm in March, in a blistering freaking snowstorm, and absolutely freezing cold, way, way, way below normal March temperatures. I stopped to a guy that was trying to hack out his driveway. And I just made I thought it was a joke. I said, oh, must be global warming. And the guy stopped and he said, that's exactly what it is. And I go, what? He goes, that's what it is. all this freezing cold weather and the snow, that's because of global warming. I'm thinking you get the Pea Brain of the Week award. And I don't understand why, I will never understand how people think the way they do, or they don't think, I guess. They just regurgitate shit. You know, they still the vast majority of the people are still hung on this right-left nonsense. The vast majority of the people are running around still believing global warming's real. You got a massive number of idiots wanting to bring Islamic people into the countries of the West because, well, we're better off than they were, and well, we owe it to them. That's another Pea Brain award. It's, anyways, there's another weather story that, you know, we got global warming going on apparently, but we have a Canadian ski resort out in Alberta, I think it is, Sunshine Village in Banff, Alberta, is the first Canadian ski resort to open this season. Not only that, but it's the earliest opening in over 30 years for the resort. So they got just a gutload of snow. It's winter up in the hills in Banff, Alberta. And, you know, everybody's tickled pink. Except maybe the scientists, because if this is the earliest that the ski season has opened, then where's the global warming? There's another notice here. Winter comes early for these ski resorts. Wait a minute. I thought we weren't going to be able to ski. You know, knowledge is power. And these people are jerking you around with this environmental nonsense. Understand the earth cycles. But instead of just being earth cycles, of which they always were, all of a sudden, these earth cycles are caused by you and I. Well, if you stand in a mirror and look at yourself, how puny you really are compared to the size of the planet, you should realize pretty quick that you don't have the ability to destroy the planet. I mean, the guys who are pushing the environmental movement at you have been dropping bombs on other people for centuries. Dropping nuclear bombs, testing nuclear bombs all over the place. Have they wiped out the planet? No. But damn, you should drop a gum wrapper on the sidewalk. Somebody's going to come up and give you a hard time. Don't you love Mother Earth? Don't you have any respect for Mother Earth? What's wrong with you? I should call somebody, have you arrested for putting that gum wrapper on the street corner. Now, I'm not into littering myself. I mean, that's just stupid. But that's just being conscious of what you're doing. But dropping a gum wrapper on the sidewalk shouldn't cause too much concern for people when all you got to do is turn on your idiot box and watch them dropping bombs on everybody. Never hear too many people complain about the bombs dropping, but that damn candy wrapper, that can really get somebody's underwear knotted up on them pretty damn quick. And that's another Pea Brain of the Week award. You know, it's I don't know. Brzezinski said they were going to do it. Take 2.5-3 generations, turns all into a bunch of muttonheads. And apparently he knew what the hell he was talking about. You know, I don't know. I will never, ever understand how a parent can put their child in a public school system or a university. What's your child going to do after out of high school? Well, little Jimmy's going to go to university. And Sally, well, she's going to go to college. She may go to university later, but she, right now she just wants to go to college and feel out what it is she wants to do with her life. Well, all you got to do is look around. The longer these kids are in school, the stupider they become. Absolutely brain-dead idiots. Now, I noticed here the last 2 days or so, we have basically the push for the guaranteed income seems to be ramping up in the mainstream here pretty hard. And that's not a good thing. That is most definitely not a good thing. They also have a story, if I can dig it out, they had a story in the newspaper, the one Sound Free Press, and about if I can find it. Well, here's a Syrian story. Maybe this will wake some people up. A Syrian asylum seeker has been convicted of 3 counts of attempted murder for throwing his children out the window of a refugee home in Germany. That's always nice. Where did I see that story? Anyways, it's the health unit now. The Grey Bruce Health Unit, and let me see if I can get it here. So the Grey Bruce Health Unit is pushing to, where did that get to? Where? It was freaking well here yesterday. What the hell? Anyways, the big Grey Bruce Health Unit is pushing for food security. This is what they're pushing it on now. Here it is here. Money key to food security. This is retarded. The Grey Bruce Health Unit, this is the health unit that is telling anyone that they have to get their vaccines. This is the health unit that's pushing that your child can't go to school unless it's properly vaccinated. So what they're doing is they're driving everybody into poverty. It's the same old story they've always used. Okay, they're wiping out the middle class. There's less and less of them every year. And less and more people are having a bigger, difficult time trying to keep a roof over their head, keep the families fed and clothed and all that kind of thing. You can't go anywhere around here without running into a donation box. You know, we live in it's retarded. We live in the richest province. We live in the richest country. The entire country, the second largest landmass country on the planet, with less population than the state of California. And we have a food security problem? Huh? We got a stupid problem as we got. Anyways, on Friday, the health unit released its nutritious food basket results from 2016, which show the basic cost of food for a family of four in Grey Bruce is just over $200 a week or $870 a month. If the family is on Ontario Works, and I don't know what that exactly means, maybe that's welfare, they would have just over $450 for all other expenses after paying for food and rent. Well, where I live here in Grey Bruce in the wintertime during the big global warming scare, They've jacked their heating bills up so high because, well, they're trying to pick your pocket for their investors, and most of them overseas. And so you got $450 left over for all other expenses after paying for food and rent. Well, we've heard all kinds of stories in the winter here of our heating bills well over $1,000 a month. So this family living on the Ontario Works pay, and I take it that's the new word for welfare here. And then they start with the United Nations shit in the next paragraph. Food is a basic human right. Okay? It's not the right of men and women and children. It's a basic human right, human being an animal. So you're supposed to feed the animals. And the government should be supporting access for all. Clearly, with some of our systems, that is not supported, and it is time to really pay attention to that and stop this two-tiered food system that we really have going on. Now, in the old days, and in the old days when I was young, we had, when we moved to this town, there was two, when we moved to this town, it was 2,700 people when we moved here, 7,500 people now. But when we moved here, there was two furniture factories here, which is really the backbone of the town. They used to have a nylon factory or something here, and they used to have a salt block and a brickworks. And this is how people used to operate, right? They made what they needed, they grew what they ate, and they all knew each other, they all helped each other. We didn't need police running around bothering people all the time. If somebody did some harm to somebody, well, trust me, the rest of the people would deal with it pretty quick. So it was self-policing, is which these towns should be. You know, they make a big deal out of, you know, a cop gets a commendation because he stopped on the highway for a traffic accident. Well, if I came across a traffic accident, you can bet I'd stop and I'd be helping whoever was hurt. It doesn't take somebody in a blue uniform to do that. This is normal, moral. It's your moral or obligation is to help your fellow man. And so they put it up that only the police, only the experts, the well-trained, are capable of these things, which is a big load of crap. So we didn't have hungry people. People worked. People helped each other out. They weren't running to the government to help them out. If somebody was a little short of cash, somebody give them some cash. If they're short of food, somebody give them some food. That's what your neighbors do. In the good old days, you know, I mean, back beyond my youth, but if your house burned down, your neighbors would come and help you build a new house. So what they've done is they've taken everything that's normal and removed it. Now you rely on the insurance company. You rely on the police. You rely on the government. The people are not relying on each other. And if your neighborhood isn't there to support itself and the men, women, and children that live there, then you don't have a neighborhood. You don't have a so-called community. You got nothing. You got a bunch of fear, people full of fear running around worrying if they're going to get in trouble or not. Well, you should call the government. I call the government all the time. What's the government tell me? We never left the feudal system. What's the government agree? The country's a corporation. What does the government agree with me on? Men and women can't vote. You know, so when I run to the government, I run there with a question. I don't run there with my hand up. Help me, help me. But the government is driving people into poverty to force people to run to the government going, help me, help me. So now you have all the NGOs, and the Grey Bruce Health Unit is basically an NGO. They're told when to move what program, and they do it. The media is told when to move what program, and they do it. The NGOs are running around like little chicken littles. And this is just one step at a time in destroying your nation. And people don't seem to get it. They don't seem to get it. So we go down here. They got a bunch of facts and figures. And down near the end here, somewhere, they're talking about the need to fix the problem. And they mentioned that need a guaranteed income. Well, who's going to pay for this guaranteed income? The poor suckers that still got their house and can still put food on the table barely? Who's going to support this thing? Where's the money coming from? You know, it's a very simple question to ask. Where is the money coming from? But see, everybody's supposed to end up poor. And our so-called governments are cut deals with the UN, these trade deals, that they're monetizing everything. They monetize the men and women after the so-called countries went bankrupt. After the countries went bankrupt, then we got hooked onto the private banking system. And they use the men and women as surety for the debt. But there ain't enough men and women to pay for these debts anymore. The entire planet could work 24/7 and never, ever get close to paying out the debt. Well, the debt, of course, is a fraud, so why would you bother paying it out? You're not supposed to gain from fraud. You know, when I hear TV commentators talking about the debt or politicians talking about the debt and how they're going to alleviate the debt, well, that's another pea brain award there, isn't it? If you got some politician tells you he's going to deal with the debt, you know you're talking or listening to a pea brain. You can't get out of the debt. And the debt was designed so you can't get out of the debt. So ship all the jobs overseas, all the good paying manufacturing jobs not overseas, and the media did what they were supposed to do, and they pumped the shit out of the value of free trade and how it was going to enhance the nations. Well, look around. Feeling enhanced, are we? You know, the media is there at every turn to pump every agenda coming from the globalists. It doesn't take a brain, you know, a really intelligent person to figure out that if you ship out all our manufacturing jobs, how is it our lives are going to improve? Well, we're working at the local McDonald's or whatever at minimum wage. How does this improve our life again? How does it improve our life if we don't manufacture what we need? If we don't manufacture what we require, then we're dependent on somebody. If we're dependent on somebody, well, then obviously we don't have an independent nation, do we? But the United Nations and the Rockefellers and the more strong and the Rothschilds, we get interdependency. We're all interdependent on each other. Bullshit. How can you possibly be interdependent with somebody in, I don't know, South Korea or Russia or Czechoslovakia? How in the hell can you possibly be interdependent with those people? You can't. But that's what they sell you. That's what the media sells you. That's what the school teachers sell the children. That's what the churches sell the parishioners. because it's all corporate. And I don't know why people just never asked a question. They grumble once in a while, but they never ask any serious questions. They never look for any solutions. Well, if that government keeps doing what they're doing, then I'll tell you, we're going to kick them out after 4 years. That'll show them. Huh? That's another P-bearing award. Why do you think you got two main parties? To divide the people. Why? So you don't see what's actually going on. We gave you a choice. A choice. This whole idea of party politics, what is that about? Divide and conquer is what it's about. Psychological warfare is what it's about. Why can't, the party system, wipe the party system off the map? There is no party system. There are only men, women, and children. That's it. Now, I hear somebody up in the back row there. And, well, I'm not a man, a woman, or a children. I'm gender identified number 37. Well, come down to the stage and I'll give you your P-brain award. There are men, there are women, and there are children. There is nothing else. That's it. That is all there is. Now, thinking people would appoint, elect, whatever, some men and some women to look out for the governance, if you will, of your, I hate using the word community, I can't even hardly say neighborhood anymore, where you live. How's that? The rest is psychological warfare. By who? By the same guys that dropped the bombs. But just as the bombs kill, so does the psychological war kill. It kills the soul of a man or a woman or a child. They become depressed, they're lost, they can't figure out why they're here or what their role is. Their role is simple. Be a man, a woman, or a child. It's not too hard to look after your own. If you get rid of these clowns that keep picking your pocket, keep telling you what you can and can't do, who are these people that do this to you? Well, they're the same ones that drop the bombs. Well, why do we put up with this shit? That's a good question. Why do we put up with this? Well, we can't really do anything about it. Are you happy about what's going on? No. But why can't you do something about it? Well, you can't fight City Hall. Says who? Well, I don't know. That's what they told me my whole life. And you believe them? It's a psychological war. Of course you can do something about it. You just got to stand up and do it. Psychological war, where it's not like a bomb, might not kill you this instant, although the suicide rates continue to go up. We've got the doctors working as drug pushers. I mean, I find this whole pharmaceutical thing ludicrous. When I was a kid, teenager, we did a ton of drugs. And we got into some Valium one night. A few of my friends had mothers on Valium. I didn't know what the hell they were talking about. What's that about? Well, you know, they get depressed and that. Why? Why are they getting depressed? This is my thought process. Why are these people getting depressed? What's going on? Why are the doctors giving them these pills? Well, obviously, we know there's a reason for that. So we did a few volumes one night, and I was convinced at that point that the most dangerous drugs on the planet are not the street drugs. It's the pharmaceutical drugs. But then again, it is a psychological war. You know, you go see somebody, and I don't go see anybody, but I hear these things. You know, you go see somebody, how you feel. They know, it's like they prod at the people. How are you feeling? Is everything okay? Are things well? Are you feeling a little depressed? You know, we have this new thing that'll help you with your depression. Well, who came? Nobody. They didn't go there for depression. Now all of a sudden they got depression. And they're writing prescriptions. And that really sickens me. These so-called doctors aren't there to heal. All they do is write prescriptions. And then people get sicker. Then they need to get a reaction, right? And well, this will help counteract the reactions you're getting off the first pill I give you. This one's for the fourth pill I give you. This one's for the 16th pill I gave you. And people eat this shit. You know, I'm absolutely convinced that I'm correct. You know, I gave this a lot of thought and a lot of study. And there is no doubt in my mind that this is a spiritual, psychological war. And people's spirits are being broken. Their minds are being broken. And they become putty in the hands of these criminals. People running around don't want to get in trouble. Well, you're in trouble, people. You've been in trouble for a very, very long time. And they're putting the thumb down now and putting the screws on you big time now. So we can't just sit around forever saying, well, there's nothing we can do about it. I'm just one man or one woman. Nothing we can do about it. Well, I guess that's what they call the walking dead. Because your soul's crushed. Your spirit's crushed. And for all intents and purposes, your spine and your mind are crushed. And you're just the walking dead. You're just getting through life. I want to see people enjoying their lives again. I want to see laughter in the streets. I want to see the kids playing. We were pouring concrete the other day and talking to the guy on the concrete truck, and he's just shaking his head how ridiculous things are getting as far as the young people go. You know, he's saying that somebody got thrown out of school because they had a plastic butter knife in their lunch bag. And I've heard stories a lot about that before. And I said, remember we used to get knives and we'd throw them at each other's feet? I forget what the game was, but you know, but we used to do that, and it was quite a good game. I don't recall getting hit in the foot with a knife. We weren't trying to hit each other in the foot. It was to see how close you could get to the foot without actually striking it, and then you would have to move your leg out. And I think the idea was to get you to get so stretched out you fell over. First one falls over, loses. Now, did anybody stab anybody with these knives? No. I told him we had a gun range in the school that I went to, and he said, so do we. I said, anybody shoot anybody? No. I said, nobody I knew shot anybody either. But now a plastic butter knife in some kid's school bag is a humongous problem to society. Society is who's the problem to society, because everybody's come brain dead. You know, I can just picture the parents and the teachers sitting down over this plastic butter knife and having a discussion. Why the hell you toss my kid out of school for having a plastic butter knife? It's not the plastic butter knife. It's what it represents. Ooh. Do I hear a psychological war going on? You have to understand, you know, while your child may not ever harm anybody, the idea that other children see a knife, but it's not a knife, it's a plastic freaking picnic butter knife. Well, that's probably what it is, but other children may get other ideas. And we can't have that, can we? So it's not so much about your child, it's about the influence what your child may have with another child. And if they see your child with a plastic butter knife, well, what are they going to come with next? A plastic fork? You could stick somebody in the forehead with one of them things. So you do understand why we called you into the office to discuss this. We're sure that you're very good parents. But if your child does bring that plastic butter knife again, we'll have to have you investigated. And baby, it'll turn out you aren't good parents. And we will have to take your child away from you. Remember, you registered that child. Okay? And that gives us control over the child. Well, that's our child. Well, not really. Because when you register that child, the child comes with a bundle of rights now, which we control. Now, where the kids used to have a gun range in the school and where they were encouraged to become good shots, not to go out and shoot people, of course, but the idea of becoming good shots was that if your country ever got invaded, that you could fight back. But we've moved ahead of that now, so now we want you so dumbfounded, and we have invaded you, but we've invaded you from the inside. You're waiting for a standing army to come. We're here. We're the school boards. We're the municipal halls. We're the committees. We're the boards. And we're here to control your lives. We're here to change the way you think. We're here to change society. We're here to remove your backbone and your mind from you. So, should your child come back to school with a plastic knife or a plastic fork or possibly a hand-drawn gun on a piece of notepaper, then we'll probably have to send the experts in to investigate it. In fact, you are good parents or not. Now, I'm making the assessment that you are good parents, and I don't want you to let me down by proving me wrong. So now you see how important it is that little Johnny follows all the rules. And the parents go, oh, okay, and they submit, instead of punching whoever said that to them in the face. This is how pliable the people have become. They don't want to get into trouble. They don't realize the trouble they're in. I don't understand why they don't realize it. That part really makes me scratch my head. But that's the way it is. The bloody unfortunate. You know, one of the things that just kills me, because I always thought construction guys, I mean, I spent a lot of years in construction. In fact, I'm doing it right now. But I've spent time in other businesses. But of all the businesses, the construction industry was where the men went to, the actual men. And when I see these guys bowing down to some of the nonsense that's going on now, it really makes me scratch my head. What happened to you guys? What the hell happened to you guys? Some pencil neck comes up to you. You've been going up and down ladders for 20, 30, 40 years. And then some pencil neck comes along and says you have to take a day-long course so you can learn how to go up and down a ladder. and then give them $600 for the privilege of learning how to go up and down the ladder you've been going up to down for 20, 30, 40 years? And you do it? You do it? Now that's another pea brain award. I hear guys that talk in construction complaining away about all this stuff. Then why do you submit to it? Why do you submit to it? Now you got the construction guys. Oh, well, I don't want to get in trouble and they won't let me work if I don't do what they tell me. Well, who the hell's in charge of your safety, you or them? And what makes you think the instructor teaching how to go up and down a ladder, everyone up and down a ladder? It's all about submit, 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 submit. And the more they pick the pockets of the people and the more they drive them into poverty, then become sitting ducks for the government. Who is the one that is guilty of putting these people into poverty in the first freaking place? And then they come out. People can't make their payments. They can't get food on the table. They can't afford their heat bill. And so on and so forth. And then the government comes out pushing this guaranteed income. And the people are struggling. And the more people they put into poverty, the louder the cry for guaranteed income becomes. And then the government's going to say, we're just doing what the people want us to do. It's the same thing over and over and over again. Problem, reaction, solution. And people just keep getting sucked in. That's the power of psychology. That's the power of the press. And then they get the little kids into it. Oh, well, we're so worried about so-and-so because, well, they have food poverty or this poverty or that poverty. How in the hell can the second largest landmass nation on the planet with a smaller population than California have poverty? It ain't possible unless it's constructed, which of course it is. And it's really getting shaky. Because the more people submit into this, it's the same as the windmills when they brought the windmills. You know? It wasn't the government that wanted windmills. Of course it was. But this is the global, the local thing. So we'll stew it up at the local level. And then we'll eventually take it up to the higher levels, but always got to start at the local levels with local committee hearings and, you know, with the state of the planet and the increasing global temperatures and coal's killing this many people a year. You know, if we had an alternative, would you be in it? Oh, yes, yes, yes. But these are people, all these people are the players. And that's pumped out through the media, through the schools, through the NGOs. And then eventually the government says we're going to have to shut the coal plants. Well, this was the plan all along. But you didn't hear it from government first. It was the people speaking. No, they weren't. They weren't speaking at all. You know, every one of these people, every freaking editor of every major newspaper, every owner of every major media outlet should be sued into the ground until they're in need of a guaranteed income. These people have no legitimacy, these agencies, these MSN newsworks, the schools, the churches, have absolutely no legitimacy. None. Yet. We keep falling for their stupid lines. Because we're programmed to fall for their lines. And the ones that put this forward have been doing it so long, they know how to go about doing it. We'll have no nations until we get rid of the party system. Got to get rid of the party system somehow, because that's the biggest con that's ever been foisted on the people. Now here we have one from the Toronto Star, a story, and same garbage, and the headline is: Post nearly 40% of Canadian post-secondary students experience food insecurity, says study. The report called Hunger for Knowledge was released last week by Meal Exchange. Well, we know Meal Exchange is an NGO. I haven't looked it up, but I can guarantee you Meal Exchange is an NGO to push this particular program, which is being funded by the Rockefellers or some other frickin' foundation, tax-exempt foundation, a non-charitable organization. Well, there you go. It says it right there, a non-charitable organization, which is just an NGO pushing the globalist agendas. It surveyed nearly 4,500 students across Canada, or across five Canadian campuses, over a 16-month period, and this is what they found out. The students are all starving to death. And that's no good. She also says students, especially in arts programs, must pay for extra materials, erasers, I suppose, and pencils for their projects, and a lot of unfortunate stereotypes like we're starving or tortured or entitled. This dismissive attitude about student life takes away from a bigger picture of asking for funding and tuition reform. But it goes down here. I'm running out of time. It goes down here. Hungry for Knowledge, the largest cross-campus study on food insecurity in Canada, found that 39%, nearly 2 in 5 of students surveyed, experienced some form of food insecurity across Canada. 23.7% of food insecure students who reported that their physical health was affected. 20.1% food insecure students who reported their mental health was affected, because that's a good one, because, well, we got doctors that want to get rid of some pills. So you got your food insecure, and now you have a mental health disorder because of it. But these numbers really get crazy. 49.95% of surveyed students reported they had to sacrifice buying healthy food to pay for expenses such as rent, tuition, and textbooks. 73.3% of African students found to experience some form of food insecurity. Now, are these African students in Canada, or are these African students in Africa? I have no idea. It doesn't say so. The percentage of Aboriginal students who experience food insecurity is 56.4%. 53.3% of Caribbean students surveyed who experience food insecurity. 104 is the number of campus-based hunger relief programs across Canada. So there's 104 campus-based hunger relief programs across Canada. The second landmass planet on the planet, with a smaller population than the state of California. And they're telling me we've got 104 campus-based hunger relief programs across Canada in 2016. And in 2004, there were only 51 campus-based hunger relief programs. So from 2004 to 2016, it has more than doubled. So we obviously need guaranteed income for food security. And you remember, 20-some percent, not only 23% said their physical health was affected, and 20% not only was their physical health, but also their mental health was affected. And this is supposed to be one of the great nations in the world. It's not. It's a company. Okay? And your company bosses are putting the boots to you. Okay? The problem is, we own the company. We get to throw the bosses out. We get to get rid of this two-party system. We get to put the house back in order. There should be no one in any of the Western nations that are suffering mental health because they can't get their hands on food. And then the United States is a basic human right. Well, you know what a human is, United Nations. It's an animal. And you know in your minds there's too many animals. And it's time to cull them. And that's what this is all about, the vaccines and the stupefying of the students in the schools and so forth and so on. It's a psychological, spiritual war to take you down from the inside. Just like Cicero said in 42 frickin' BC, the enemy is inside the gates. Not too hard to understand. You can smell the stench of tyranny. All you got to do is stick your face out the window and sniff it. So here's another story. Proposed basic income pilot in the same newspaper would provide monthly payments of at least $13.20 a month. Well, you can't survive in this country on $13.20 a month. Hugh Siegel, which is, I believe Hugh Siegel is a member of the UNPA, which is the United Nations Parliamentary Assembly, pushing for a world government. Ontario Special Advisor on Basic Income, now Hugh Siegel is, wants province to test the merits of replacing social assistance program with no strings attached version of the basic income. And then what they're going to do is they're going to build you smaller and smaller and smaller apartments along the rail lines. And then they will eventually give you a card with a, whatever the number may be, this says 1320. And that's your income. And what they've done is they've turned over all the resources of all the nations over to the sons of bitches that created the UN. And then you're going to hear people start to talk like in 1984, where Winston's girlfriend said to him, "Why don't we just get out of here?" And Winston says, "Go where?" And she says, "Anywhere." And Winston says, "But everywhere is the same." You see what kind of mess we're in, people? That's what they got the plans on for us, and we better buck up soon. We're out of time. I'll be back on Saturday night over at Revolution Radio, broadcast over to UCY, and then back Sunday on UCY.TV. And hopefully, actually, I got a note that you probably sent. Till then,
to your face, fight and die, cause God will give. You are listening to UCY.TV.